Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Houston Bigfoot. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach. Kyler Smith will be with us shortly. We've got a great show tonight. We've got our favorite guest on this show, I'll tell you that, Matthew Delph. How are you doing tonight, Matthew?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Living the dream.
Well, that's good. I'll tell everyone that you are in your car and you have pulled over on Interstate 40 coming from Knoxville back to Ewing, Virginia, so that you could be with us tonight, and we thank you for that.
Well, and glad to be here. So,
well, good.
Glad.
All right, now you're the guy that brings us the great stories, and I'm sure you've been doing a little bit of thinking today about what you were going to talk about. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you and tell us what, first of all, one of your great stories. Okay.
Alrighty. Well, we left off last time with the talking about the national parks and how Teddy Roosevelt was one that developed the park system, and he was a big time hunter. We all know, you know, if you know the history on him, and he actually had a report of a in one of his hunting journals about a Bigfoot killing a trapper, and a lot of people think that it was something that he experienced on his trip, but with him and the political side, he didn't want his name out there. But that's just a, you know, conspiracy theory. But he's the one that developed the national parks. And what is strange is you have all these missing people, and you have all these Bigfoot sightings, cryptid sightings, UFO, alien kind of stuff. It's usually around all these national parks or wildlife preserves. So, you know, if you look at the common denominators on there, you can look at it on a map. Now, the national parks, why don't they list missing people? They never keep documentation on that. So, and what's weird is there's a lot of places in history, for example, Land Between the Lakes, 64, when they moved everybody, they forced everybody from their homes. And there's been a lot of cryptid activity, you know, the Beast of LBL and Bigfoot reports and everything else in that area. And then there's another place that a lot of people aren't real familiar with, and it's, they call it Helltown, and it's in Ohio. And
All right. Now, Matt, I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to say, tell us a little bit about where Helltown is located. Can you do that?
Okay, it's more towards the northern east. It's in a valley there. I'd have to go because it's not actually Helltown. You have to go and on a map because it's no longer, you know, they don't list the town there, but I can put a link later on. But it's just this area. Okay, in 74, they wanted it to be a they wanted to force everybody from their homes and to basically make it into a recreational place, and they forced them. It was so bad that they had to bring in the National Guard to push the people out. Of course, you know, like I said, Helltown is not on the map, but it's more, it's in a valley. It's more up in the northeastern, I believe it'd be the best way to describe it, area up there. And they basically just, not only did they force these people from their homes, they went in, and the ones that wouldn't leave, they brought National Guard in to push these people out. And then once they got out, and they did finally leave, they went in and they burnt the house down and bulldozed them down. Now, there's still some structures up there, but this whole area, you've got all kinds of reports. Some people say it ain't really nothing. But you've got a lot of stuff about satanic stuff going on up there. stuff like they think the government could be these weird type cryptid creatures that are, you know, just deformed different beings all put together. Stories of witches up there. The whole area is just basically spot for any type of paranormal activity or anything that, you know, that goes on, high strange events. And
all right, now I've got a really strange question for you. Were they paying these people for their land?
They did, but they weren't paying high dollar. They just paying them basically, you know, whatever the market price. But they were forced, even if they didn't want to sell. Now, so many years later, they ruled it in court that they couldn't do that. But it was too late because the people's houses were already, most of them was already destroyed and stuff, so nobody lives there now. It's basically a ghost town. And there's supposedly a satanic church there. You know, so you've got all this weird, high strange activity in this area, basically a ghost town now, that the government didn't even turn it into a park. They didn't turn it into anything. They just left it vacated, and nobody goes there. You have people sneak up there, but, of course, there's probably no trespassing signs up, and I'm sure somebody probably keeps a watch on it, make sure, you know, a lot of people aren't up in there roaming around. But they had a lot of squatters go in there, too, and just go into the buildings. And then, of course, some of them were moved. But, you know, all these areas like that, the government forcing people, and you've got all this activity. So, you know, you've got a question, you know, why this area? Why are they forcing these people from their homes? And most of the time, the area has a history of high strange events. Where I had my first encounter up in Indiana, northern Indiana, they were trying, I didn't put this together till I look back now, they were trying to they was wanting to flood the whole area where our house was and stuff. They wanted to turn into a lake. And to this day, they're still trying to, the people fought it because, of course, the laws have changed a lot since back then. And they just can't force you from your home. But they, you know, they're still pushing to do something with that area. Now, right across from where I had my encounter, they made it into a wildlife preserve. But they're still wanting to flood that area for some reason. I seen 2 years ago, they're like, well, let's just dig a big rock quarry here, you know. Why are they wanting, what's their intent on doing this, you know? There's got to be an agenda, not just because, oh, that area needs a lake.
Well, obviously, we need another lake, Matt. Come on.
And it's right where the river, the Tippecanoe River and the Wabash River run together. So it makes you wonder, you know, they call it River Junction. It makes you wonder, though, you know, they know more than what they let on, of course.
You know what? Now I'm gonna say my first unkind thing to you.
Okay.
I mean, here's the deal. They know what they're doing, and they're not gonna tell us. So I mean, it's like, well, okay, get over it and go around it, or take the money and go. I mean, you know. We don't live in exactly a free country.
No, we don't.
And when the government decides it's going to do something, it's going to do it. And the best way to react is to just try to go around it, try to forget it. If one of these days some of my property gets flooded, well, I mean, you know, somebody's going to pay me some money. I'll go buy me some property somewhere else. I mean,
yep.
Everybody needs to realize that in this country, which is a whole lot better than Russia, they have something called imminent domain, and that means government can take whatever you got. So just, you know, just and that's what I think. I think people just need to realize that and go on and not be so stubborn, because you'll end up losing what they were going to give you anyway. And please don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not trying to be a bad guy, but I'm just saying sometimes you just got to, you know, government's going to do what government's going to do. And sitting there and waiting them out is not going to do you any good. And now, and so please, you know, forgive me if I offended you, but it's the truth.
No, it is
go
true.
Go on.
Yep. And see, like, where I was at, I remember everybody, they had all met at the this little community center, and all the town people, I remember my parents going there, and they're like, yeah, we ain't going to sell our land. They're trying to give us bottom dollar for it, you know, just basically wanting to move everybody out of there. And they went to the community center, all the people in the little area there, all the homeowners, and, you know, they're like, no, we're going to stand up against this. And, of course, you know, it got stopped, but they're still pushing it, and I don't think they'll ever quit pushing it. I mean, they already got the wildlife reserve on the other side, you know. I mean, you can't tell me, if you look at these mountain stuff, they say, oh, we're, you know, the wildlife, we need an area for wildlife. Yeah, we're growing, but if you look on a map, especially up in, like, where I'm at up here in Virginia, up in the Appalachian Mountains, it ain't nothing but wilderness, you know? A bunch of old coal mining towns that are basically ghost towns anymore, but nothing but wilderness. Why would they put a wilderness preserve in the middle of one of them, you know? It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. Well, I mean, it does to us.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to them. That's why they're doing it. So,
exactly.
I mean, I think you kind of have to take the philosophy that you live to play another day. Now, I hope that doesn't sound like the give-up philosophy, but honestly, it's about the truth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like proving this stuff exists. Well, you'll never prove Bigfoot exists or anything else until Big Brother says it's okay. You'll never prove it exists to the world, because
I've got to do two things, Matt. Number one, I want to introduce Kyler Smith, our co-host. Kyler has been released from work. How you doing, Kyler?
Doing good. Hopefully, I didn't miss any of the good stuff.
There's always good stuff when Matt and I are talking. But we'll give you a hall pass, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, great. And now, Matt, what were we talking about? Because I had an interesting point, and I got all sidetracked to introduce Kyler. What were we talking about? And let me jump in with my good point.
The about, you know, proving this stuff exists, the government. You'll never – all these people that say, hey, I'm going to bring proof that Bigfoot exists. I'm going to bring proof, you know, this werewolf or dogman exists. You'll never prove any of this stuff exists until the government, Big Brother, says okay. Because what they're going to do, you find a body, they're going to take it from you. They're going to say that you hoaxed it. You did this. You did that. They'll threaten you, your family, whoever. You're not going to prove it exists until they say it's okay. When they want it exposed is when it's going to be exposed. But until then, me, you, nobody else, we're not going to prove it. You got to, you know, you got to do the research for your own personal gain. I mean, you know, just for if you need answers. I mean, that's – but these people that go out here saying, yeah, I'm going to prove it to the world. No, you're not. You could have a body. The government's going to come, take it away from it, and tell you it was a fake or – you know, say they're going to make you look stupid.
And they'll tell you to have a coquin smile, correct?
Yep, exactly right.
And the whole point is, let me give you the best argument for the existence of cryptids. This came from Dr. Sally Ryan Feather. who ran the Ryan Research Institute. Her father was J.B. Rind. He invented the term ESP, extrasensory perception. Sally was a smart lady. We were sitting in the library one day. We used to sit there, and I would come over from NC State and hang out with her, and she would read me stories that people sent to her and said, what do you think about it? I mean, it was just a wonderful experience to be with such a historically incredible lady and a very nice lady. So I said, well, Sally, I mean, I believe in these things. I've seen them. But why should somebody else believe in Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, or whatever? She said, John, it's very simple. And I want both of you guys to listen. She said, there are too many stories. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And when there are lots of stories, there is truth. Just remember that. It's very simple. And all these skeptics, and I keep getting down on skeptics, because all they want to do is lie and say, we don't like it, as I sometimes say, they want to attack the man. They want to attack the person that's telling the story because they don't have any proof that they're not right. They have no proof whatsoever. And I think I've gone on a personal crusade. If anyone wants to start skepticking me, I'll rip them apart. I'll make them feel like they have just met Dogman, Matt. I'll make them feel like they just met Dogman, and they won't be happy with it. Because, you know, if there were no incidences, there would be no stories. Am I correct?
Exactly.
That, in my opinion, is the only argument you need. Now, Kyler, what do you think about my argument? If there were no incidences of cryptids, of Bigfoot, of Dogman, there would be no stories. What do you think about that argument?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of said all of it. I mean, it's you just pay attention. I don't know what other evidence they're looking for. I mean, if you really need to see to believe it, then I don't know how you've gotten this far in your life so far.
Well, okay, here's another example. I believe in God. No one has ever seen God, but we've seen examples of God's work. That's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're a Christian and you're a skeptic about cryptids, then you better rethink everything that you just said. They go berserk on me about that argument. Well, that's not what we're talking about. And I say, that's exactly what we're talking about. And then I'll just ignore them and go to the bar and have a drink. And if Matt was around or you were around, I'd go to the bar and have a drink with you guys. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely. I can always go for a drink.
Exactly, and I'm having one right now.
I mean, look at the first documented case was Leif Erikson, the Viking. Was it like 780 A.D. that he come over and he was ran off, you know, by these ape men? And, you know, if they run the Vikings off, then, you know, right there, you know, why would they document that? You know, they didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have, social media or, you know, TVs or anything. This is just what they had. They wrote their journals down. And, you know, they put down their history of what happened and stuff. And that, I'm not sure. Have you heard that, the one of the Daniel Boone and his encounter?
Yes, sir. And I prefer not to discuss that.
Are you thinking of the one that I'm talking about that he just come out that it was documented down about him with his son?
Yes, but there's a lot to that story. When I did some research on it, when I was writing my second book with Igor Burtsev, I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment on that, and I'm going to keep Daniel Boone's reputation sparkling and perfect. He might have a little dirty laundry, so I'll just leave it at that.
Well, they had the one, of course. You know, they always said, well, they thought it was because of the Yahoo that he had written or whatever. But this one incident, I haven't heard until it was somebody else had documented it down about him and his son. They had horses stolen from them, and they went and they tried to track it down. There's like 500 Indians and just him and his son. They're like, there ain't no way we're getting these horses back. So, and that's when they had encountered one, and he ended up shooting it and about killed his son. I'm not sure if you've heard that one or not, but.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I mean the one that I'm talking about particularly is the one about the two hunters. And one went to get the traps and came back, and his best friend who was with him was ripped apart like it was a dog man.
That was the Teddy Roosevelt one.
Okay, you're right. Thank you. It's been a long day. You're right.
The Daniel Boone one now is they were coming back down and they needed food, and they had gone so far. Well, they needed food, so him and his son decided to hunt because they're on foot. And they're like, okay, so one goes one way, and so they're trying to basically stalk deer because they need something to eat. And it's in Kentucky where they're at. They left from Ohio down into Kentucky. And he hears his son fire a shot. And then he hears him fire a real quick shot. And it didn't have didn't have something in it. And he could tell that he's like, well, that was a quick shot. He didn't have enough time to really, you know. And so whenever he goes over there, he sees this massive creature about 10 foot tall, covered in like a blonde hair. And his son is hiding behind a tree. And he sees it, and his son's trying to put another one in there, and he sees it grab his son and lift his son up, and he slams him on the ground, and it's happening like super quick, and he picks up his son again and slams him down on the ground. He thinks his son's dead, and he picks him up another time, and he's getting ready to slam him down the third time, and Daniel Boone shoots him through the eye. And he goes up there, and he's describes this creature. It was so massive. But what was interesting was its ribs. You know how we have ribs? This was one solid bone. Our ribs would be, and that's why the muskets just got stuck in it. But he had shot it through the eye. If he didn't shoot it through the eye, his son would have been dead. And that was... There was somebody, it was documented down, somebody had found all these journals, and it had got exposed probably, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago. It hadn't been out real, real long.
Where did you find that? I would love to read that story.
I'll have to look it up. I screenshot a lot of it on my phone because I was reading it through something. I just screenshot the pages. But, yeah, I can send you some stuff on it.
You could please send that to me. I would like to share that with Robin, and maybe we could get together on ScaryCast and talk about that. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I just think it's that's a great story.
And the way it was written, you could tell it was written, you know, the words that they used and the references and – is back when I think they were smarter back then, more intelligent back in the olden days than what we are now.
Well, I think some of them are more intelligent back then than some of us around today. It's a shame, but you know, it sits one half dozen of the other. It's just the way things go. But anyway, we've got a lot of great stories, and you're right. The Teddy Roosevelt story is one of my favorite. I mean, Teddy created the national parks, correct?
Yep. Yep,
I
exactly.
I think we're lucky that he did, because he might have kept some dangerous things from happening without refuges for the cryptids to go to. Does that sound too strange to believe, or what do you think about that?
I don't think it's too strange at all, because, I mean, look at where all everything's happening, all this weird stuff. I mean, it's in these national parks. Why don't they keep documentation of missing people, you know? Why don't they have it documented? When I went to LBL, they didn't want us documented that I was even there. I got a permit, but they didn't know when I was going to be camping. They didn't care. I mean, you know, that right there is pretty obvious to me. I mean, most of the time, places I've gone, you have to sign a book. Tell them, hey, I'm going to be in this area, or I'm going to be in this, in case something happens. But in between the lakes, no, just got to get a permit, go out there.
Most of the time, Matt, let's face it, you get a permit, and they say, where are you going to go? Well, this area, okay, we're going to give you a permit, and then they completely document where you're going. I mean, they just do.
Yep.
And Land Between the Lakes, as we know, is, first of all, Land Between the Lakes is perhaps the most terrifying place in the United States. And number two, you cannot count on anything going right when you enter Land Between the Lakes. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's got a different energy, for sure. For sure, it's definitely got a different energy.
Well, it does, and more on that later. We'll get back to that another time. That's interesting. And these have been a lot. You know, you brought up a lot of good points, but it's the bottom of the hour, and I've got to say thanks to WLSC AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, our home station, TigerRadio.com, and thanks to Banana Jack Murphy in the morning, and Banana Jack and Marshall Lytle with Small Town Big Talk every day from 10 a.m. until noon. I will be the paranormal guest on Friday, as I normally am, and I'll be talking about some crazy stuff, but I always do. We really appreciate WLSC, AM and FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, and, of course, TigerRadio.com worldwide. So back to you, Matt. We had to pay a bill there, okay?
Alrighty. But, yeah, I mean, the whole national park, the government, it's all being, you know, you like, for example, the Lovelock Cave. You know, the Indians were at war with these giants, and they had them in Lovelock Cave, and they burned them while they was inside the cave, and there's been tons of skulls. I mean, just, you know, skeleton remains, and supposedly, you know, the skulls have come up missing now. Imagine that. You know, I mean, there's so much proof out there. Everybody's like, where's the proof? Where's the proof? It's there. You just got to know what to look for. And what is out there visible to us is taken away if it's too obvious, you know, to somebody that's not even looking for it. I mean, it's not going to be exposed until Big Brother says, okay, we'll let you expose that. And so why they keep it hidden? A lot of different theories on that. But, I mean, I know for a fact from my investigating in La Follette, Tennessee, back in 2003. I mean, they was actually, you know, these witnesses, there's somebody new every day, several witnesses coming forward. Hey, you know, this thing's out here. It's running around. I'm out there nosing around, talking to people. They're on the news. And, you know, and now all of a sudden, if you go onto the news site and stuff, it's unavailable, unavailable, unavailable. I mean, why are they covering it up? I mean, it's ruining people's lives. But, of course, you don't want a bunch of crazies out there trying to kill a bunch of stuff like that. But there's got to be a way to, you know, inform people. I mean, even our own military, like in some of the survival training that they do in the military, you know, they got animals, you know, hey, you need to avoid this, this, and this, and Sasquatch is on there. So, you know, there's all kinds of signs, but nobody just wants to look at it. They refuse to believe in it.
But Matt, you know they're correct. Avoid Sasquatch at all costs. It's not a good thing.
Right.
Am I correct? I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, yeah, I mean, you don't know what kind of character, you know, he might be in a good mood one day, but not the next, you know? Like I said, there's
kind of like my fifth grade teacher, Miss Wilson. Sometimes she was in a good mood. Sometimes she was in a horrible mood. Kyler, you ever had any teachers like that?
I'm sure I have. It sounds familiar.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I was trying to act like with Maestro and trying to make a joke there. But yeah, it's the truth. I mean, they know what they're doing. They try to keep us out of areas. But I'll tell you this. With my 7-foot-tall Bigfoot standing, looking at my front door, nobody's going to come in, not even the men in black. They're going to be a little too scary about this. So anyway, it's good. All right, Matt. So now let's pick up to another story. I'm going to give you a topic.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. What is – you know what's funny? I have all kinds of – strange sounds and things trying to get in my door. And so the best thing for me to do is lock it. But anyway, yeah, let's take the mountains of Virginia near you and I've heard some stories recently about a lot of strange activity in Harlan, Kentucky, where our buddy Tony Filosi is. What have you heard recently about what's going on in Harlan, Kentucky?
I've had lots of dogman reports. That's probably where I got one of my best photographs an old man had showed me. This thing looked like a German Shepherd head. And you could tell, I mean, it wasn't a dog, but it resembled a German Shepherd head. And that whole area, you hear a lot of dog man activity, and which that Harlan is right next to where I am in Lee County. Like, if you go on the mountain that's right behind my house and you stand on it and you take a couple steps over, you're in state of Kentucky. So all that activity is all right there in the same area. And they had a report, this one woman had a report of something. She said it resembled a tiger and a lion, and it was just like, she said it's probably about 300 pounds that was just destroying her farm animals. To this day, still don't know what that is. I didn't get a chance to go and investigate it. I don't know if some of them other people around that area, you know, went and checked it out or not, but the whole area is, I mean, it's, you know, there's reports of bases under that, over there in the mountain, close to there, that, you know, they're military, they're experimenting with stuff, and that's why you might have these things.
Now, Matt, I'm gonna probe a little deeper into that topic. What do you know, or what have you surmised about the bases that are underground? Because I'm certain that you know, being a past guest at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, that I've been told by several people that there are several military bases underneath the Clayton, Georgia area where we have the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And number one, have you heard of that? And number two, what is your take on some of these bases underground?
Well, yeah, I've heard that in Clayton. They do a lot of jets flying through the gorge there. And you know where the gorge is. And the Indians is, I don't know if it's, you know, just hearsay from the, whenever we did the Georgia Bigfoot Conference there. He said there's a lot of military stuff going on in there. The locals were telling me, and they were telling me that the Native Americans, the Cherokee and stuff, avoided that gorge because of the little people. These little people were roaming around the gorge, and they stayed away from them.
Now, I just want to stop you real quickly, and I want to tell everyone what you're talking about is the very famous, very beautiful Tallulah Falls Gorge, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about the little people stories that you hear, because to be honest with you, I've never really heard of any little people stories about the gorge. So please fill us in on that, okay?
Well, there at the gorge, this woman, she was telling me that, you know, it was her brother that actually seen some. She said these little cave systems, little holes. And they're like little tricksters at times, and sometimes they'll mimic different sounds. They'll try and lure you away. What happens if you go away? Could be a missing 411. Nobody knows. But they would try to, you know, campers, the Native Americans, they said, no, we got to stay away from this. This area is, you know, no, they're in, that's their area. They don't want us here. So they're real territorial. I mean, that's about a lot of them wouldn't talk either about it. They said, no, we don't want to talk about that because they think if you talk about it, law of attraction, then it starts coming out again. But, you know, there's got to be some, you know, if it have witness reports, Native Americans, you know. So you got that going on, plus you got military. A lot of people think that they just trying to use the gorge as a simulation to find somewhere else or whatever. But it kind of makes you wonder what really is. Are the military down there experimenting? Are they training for this stuff? Are they preparing, you know, are they in there trying to kill this stuff? Nobody knows. Like I said, over here in Harlan, that base that supposedly underground somewhere over here, all of a sudden, the wildlife reserve right there next to it comes up. And then you've got, you know, I've seen fighter jet planes going through. There's no airport, nowhere even close, a Army base or Air Force base close to Harlan, Kentucky. I've seen them come up through there super low, two or three of them at a time. You know, you've got Cumberland Gap Tunnel. Now, they have shut that down. It used to be called Cujo's Cave, and you could tour it. And I've toured it several times when I was a kid. And now the park owns it, and they will take you through there, which it's got a lot of ghost history involved in there. And some of the park rangers will even tell you, hey, you know, yeah, we see Confederate soldiers or Union soldiers, whatever, in here. We've seen slaves. Nice little story about somebody getting locked in the cave overnight, talking to a slave that was a ghost. And after he left, they opened up the cave in the morning for tours, and he went somewhere in North Carolina and dug up some artifacts, and they said, he said that slave inside the cave had told him about it. That was his proof or whatever. But the whole area, you know, we got all these reports of stuff with, you know, some people keep asking me about these radio callers. Now, you know, there's a lot of activity around the area because I keep getting a lot of reports, but they've shut down. Sometimes they'll shut down camping in some of these areas, and they say, it's too much bear activity. Now, when have they ever shut down the Smoky Mountains because of bear activity?
Never.
And I guarantee if there's more bear activity in Smoky Mountains than over here. So,
all right,
now,
remind us, if you don't mind, because I was so intently listening, I forgot to write down the area that you're talking about. So let me get that, because you know how I am. I like to try to record what we discuss so that I can go research it. So getting my pad ready. So now, where exactly are you talking about?
In the Cumberland Gap National Park. That's right there in the Cumberland, close to my house there, like up at the White Rocks. You could camp. There was a camping area, and they closed it. I don't know if it's closed this year or not, but I believe it's last year or year before they had it closed. You couldn't camp up there. They had shut down farther up the road going towards Norton, where they have it now up there at High Knob, is a Bigfoot sanctuary. You're not allowed to hunt Bigfoot up there. Of course, you know, they've got it. There's some camping spots like Cave Springs.
Matt, is that Cade Springs?
Cave Springs.
Oh, Cave Springs.
Yeah. It's in the Jefferson National Forest, and it is, last time I went down there, it was closed. Have they reopened it? I'm not sure. But in that area, close to there, and then not too far from there is Keokey Lake, Keokey, Virginia. Nothing but a bunch of old mining, you know, town. And there's been, I had one gentleman tell me that back in the 80s or maybe 90s, that they had shut down a whole mine system because they said some kind of wolf-type creature was roaming the area. And they didn't, you know, they were scared for the safety of the miners. But if you look, I'm sure it's documented as something else. Now, and all in the same area, you know, that's where I have reports of people, you know, talking about radio tracking collars on these hyena-type looking animals. That actually, up in that one area in the sanctuary, is where I was up there with the she-squatchers, and I took them to a spot, and that's where they got their YouTube video of something on their thermal, and it looks like, if you look at it, it looks like a head and shoulders, the upper torso of possibly a primate or something. I won't call it a Bigfoot because I don't know what it was. But there was something up there, and they've got, like, they put the video footage on their YouTube channel. But I took them up there, and that area up there, we've had, you know, that's a lot of activity up there. And what's kind of wild was I went back the next day after I took them up there that night. Now, you go from the bottom of the mountain up to the top where it's protected, and there was almost like a 20-degree difference from the bottom of the mountain once you get up to the higher elevation. And on the thermal camera, our hair was white. So this thing in front of us was all solid white. Looks like it's working with something. And I went back the next day, and I took a video and showed it's like an edge, a drop-off. So it could have been something. It, right where video, there's an edge, it drops off. So whatever it was that was there currently was pretty decent size. Pretty decent size. I mean, like I said, I don't know if it's a Bigfoot or not. I won't say it is because we couldn't tell what it was. But you can tell it's something. We got something, definitely. And that whole area, I've had stuff screaming at us before. I've been up there and it's been circling us. And just these god-awful screams, and it's all in this protected areas, all these parks, protected areas. Now,
so
I do
wait,
believe
Matt,
that
is
a
it,
lot.
Is it common for them to close these areas and these parks down for these random reasons just because
no,
they're... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not... like, for example, where they closed it... they said because of too much bear activity up on top of the White Rock camp area that's behind my house. They've never, look at the Smoky Mountains, you know. They are so much bear activity there and you can camp anywhere you want in there, basically. You just got to get a back camping permit. You know, why they closed that down is a good question, you know. They said, oh, too much bear activity. I can't see this because of a bear come rolling through there, you know. They don't do it anywhere else.
It doesn't make any sense.
No. And Cave Springs, like I said, I don't know if it's open now or not, but last time I went back through there, it was shut down. And there's been a lot of reports and sightings of these werewolf-type things. Right now, get a lot of what they're calling the dogman reports in this area. So I don't know if it's closed down, like I said, right now. But last time I went through there is a couple months ago. It could have been just maybe closed for a season, but it looked like it had been closed down for a while. I need to go back up in there and check.
So how does this shutdown happen? Like, they get a bunch of reports in, and then they just go ahead and go with it. Like, okay, fine. Obviously, there's something scaring people. Let's just shut it down. Or is it, like, a big government-type thing where, like, all right, we're coming in because we're hearing some stuff, and you guys need to just shut up and stay out?
Well, they won't tell you. For example, in Clayton, if you go down War Womandale Road, there used to be a Boy Scout camp, and there's lots of reports. One time they had this, you got the creek that's down there, and the Boy Scout camp is closed now, and there's not too far from there is another camp that's shut down. They don't give reasons, but the locals will tell you it's because of Bigfoot activity, but they won't, you ask the park or whatever, and they won't give you a reason. They'll put up a gate where you would drive into it and just lock the gate and pull it up where you can't drive back in there just for no reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it don't make any sense. But most of the time, it's usually after a lot of activity from the locals will tell you. Usually there's a lot of Bigfoot activity or some kind of spooky activity going on, and so they will go in and shut it down. Now, I've been to several spots. I may or may have not gone around the blocked-off areas and usually get some kind of crazy activity, you know, scream, something. It's usually got a different feeling as well. But they never will give a reason why.
But you can just feel the change in energy as soon as you get there.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. You can usually tell also the woods, like if there's something there. A lot of times the woods will be quiet. You'll probably get a smell of something, different odor. If it's paranormal type or whatever, the temperature change sometimes. You can go up there, and if there's animals in the woods, a lot of times a crow will give you away. Whenever you get into the woods, you'll hear a crow, and he'll just start circling around, and he'll be calling out, and he's warning the rest, telling basically the rest of the forest that you're out there. But usually when it gets super quiet, that's when you get a lot of your activity, something's there. Whenever this last expedition I was on, it was in southern Georgia. The area there, they've got it gated off, but we went in there, and I think it was an old Army Corps camping spot, and there's been different reports of UFOs, all kinds of stuff there. We were in there, and we had went around this fenced-off area, and as we're down in there, myself and a fellow researcher, Trey Hudson, we had seen like a shadow figure move across the trail ahead of us, and we've got some pretty good equipment. We got night vision, we got thermal. When we get up to where dark figure had crossed the path, there was no heat signature on the ground, steps or anything like that. But when we were coming back, the woods kind of got quiet, and there was a foul odor that was coming through the air.
So when you said there were, The woods got quiet. You mean like there's no sounds of the birds? There's no like bugs making any sound?
Exactly.
It's just dead silent.
It gets a dead calm. Yeah, it's a calm. Yes, there's
right,
no
activity. I want to back up. I want to back up a little bit. You said something about the crows giving you away. I've never heard this before. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, crows are basically they're really super smart. And growing up, my grandpa, he would always be like, "Watch this crow. Watch what it'll do." And once you get in there, it'll take off flying out of a tree, and you hear it, going through. And sometimes, a lot of times, it will circle, and it'll be letting out that noise. And then they've always said that it's warning everything else out there that, hey, man's in the forest. So, or something's in the forest. And crows are, they said that, I think they're intelligent. I think they're as smart as like a 7-year-old kid. They will, if a crow dies, they will stand around it and investigate it until to figure out its death, how it died. They're super intelligent birds. I mean, they bring them, what was it? Is it the cane toad that's super poisonous? They brought some of them to where there's a heavy population. They'll release them out there because the crow's smart enough. The secretions on the back of the toad comes out, the poison on their back. But the crows will fly down, grab them by their leg, and flip them over on their belly and eat from the inside of their belly and not the poisonous on the outside. I mean, you got to be pretty smart to,
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
But yeah, they'll, a lot of times they will give you away. If you ever go out on a hike or do something, try and pay attention to the wildlife, like especially the crows, if there's crows around. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I didn't even think of paying attention to that small little detail. I thought they kind of just, did their thing. They'd flock around, just doing whatever. I didn't know they were actually, paying attention to you and warning everything around them. That's crazy.
Yeah, they'll pay attention. And, it's cool, though. I mean, you go out there to these areas and whatever's out there, it knows you're in the woods. I mean, it knows you're in there. They can smell you. They know you're out there before you know it's out there 90% of the time. Now, a lot of people will talk about if they go out using horse. They'll ride a horse out there because the horse covers up your human scent, they claim. And then usually the horse can sense that there's something there and it'll warn you. It'll kind of get edgy if there's a predator or something out there. So a lot of people like to use horses too. But all these areas, that they're closing off, they won't tell you a reason. But you're getting all this activity from those areas. And you ask the partner, they're just like, we just don't have the manning or the people to update it or something. I mean, how much work does it take for somebody to clean off a picnic table or,
Exactly.
The trail, a tree fall out, cut the tree out of the way, whatever, But the trails are usually still good that you can drive right up through them. They just gate them off and won't let nobody back in there. So,
Those are some great stories, Matt, and the fact that you brought in Northeast Georgia, the Clayton area, is wonderful because people hunt and run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, and that's always a lot of fun. And so I'll talk with you, about perhaps a story for the Bigfoot Herald about some of these things. I think these are some ideas that people would enjoy, so that would be great. And we're wishing now. With us, it's been a lot of fun. You want to join us next week?
I'll have to get back with you on that one. I'll have to check.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Just let us know.
I will. Yeah.
We'd love to have you. And Kyler, it was good having you here with us. you had some good questions for Matt, and we've enjoyed them. And I wanted to say, I want to thank everybody for listening to Houston Bigfoot. And we'll get you a post up real soon about who we're going to have next week. We hope it'll be Matt, but if it's not Matt, we'll have somebody else. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I want to say thank you to everybody for being here with us on Houston Bigfoot. Kyle Schmidt and our special guest, who's one of the most exciting Bigfoot hunters around, Matthew Delk. And Matt, be sure to put a link to this show on Micro, because that is your baby. That is your group, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. That's correct, right?
Yes, correct. Correct.
And how do I'm a member, but how does someone join Micro? That's a Facebook group, right?
Yeah, it's a Facebook group. I'm eventually going to get a website up, but just go and you can look me up, and I can invite you into it, or you can just go to the actual Facebook group, Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, MECRO, and hit the ask to join the group, and I'll bring you right in there. It's growing.
Well, that's great.
So.
Well, thank you very much. I know it is. How many members do you have now?
I'm not real sure. I haven't looked here lately, but I've been getting requests. Quite a few here in the past week or two, especially. I'd have to look, but it's growing pretty quick, and it's going to really take off. It's really going to take off. It's going to be so big that I'm going to have. It's going to compete hopefully with these other large groups like the BFRO, and but we cover everything. We're not just not the Bigfoot. We're UFO, alien. It's all related, paranormal. So we could, we're definitely going to be challenging them. I see that coming up in the near future.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. I can tell you that Tennessee Bigfoot Conference has almost hit 4,000 likes. So we're excited. We're getting ready to announce that here within a day or two. We've almost gotten us a location for the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and I've just got to get that registered and pay him some money. We'll be announcing that, and we look forward to having you there with us. So anyway, thanks a lot to everybody. We've had a good time tonight on Houston Bigfoot. It's always good when we have Matt and Kyler with us. It's a lot of fun. So I wanted to say, everybody, keep faith, enjoy everything. We'll see you next week, same bat time, same bat channel, which is 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the one and the only Houston Bigfoot Conference. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye. Have a good night.
Night, guys.
All right, everybody have a good one. Where's the British lady? Where is she? She's getting a hard time tonight. Because we want to end this episode, and I have alerted her to that, so who knows. Those British ladies are kind of different. But anyway, thanks a lot, and everybody can hang up, and that'll end the call. So have a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.